Hey guys, you're listening to Drunk and Uncultured.
We are a drinking problem masquerading as a pop culture podcast.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Stephanie.
I don't have anything. I don't like that I'm the one that always has to be like, and blah, blah, blah.
Well,
it's really uncomfortable.
We're several years into this, and you've done it for several years.
We're 135 episodes in, and I've had to do it 135 times, and I've had to have something to say there, and you never do. So I'm saying it now. Maybe we should change it up, and you say it's drunk and uncultured.
And it won't sound like I'm just slurring my words the whole time.
There's something about that sounds like you're slurring. Like, I can't say uncultured without sounding like I'm drunk.
Drunk and uncultured. Like,
right, I already sound drunk. And I've had just water. Anyways, we're here for, like, a special episode, actually.
Yep. So, this is coming out... What day is this episode coming out?
The 11th.
The 11th.
311, our favorite
band. Our favorite band.
I love the song. I love the song Bad Fish by 311.
We are joined by a guest to talk about beer and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, so...
I did not pre-script this very well.
It's Women's History Month. And I think last year we did something around this time with previous guest Rachel Morrison to cover women in beer. So an interview style. And we're joined by one of our friends as well that's in the beer industry to talk about her experience, some really exciting things that you're working on that we get to be a part of.
We're just part of it.
What are we?
Part of it. Okay, so we ask the same four questions for every guest to introduce themselves. So, say your name. Oh God, I'm blanking. Your name, your favorite beer, favorite piece of pop culture, and a weird fact
about your.
Okay. Wow, favorite beer. That's a.
Well, name first.
Yeah,
that one's
okay.
Easy one.
Charlotte Converse, and my favorite beer changes all the time.
Same.
I would say if we're gonna go macro, I drink Modelo. As much as possible. And if we're going to go smaller right now, if I want to be a little biased, I could probably drink Lou from Salamoth every single day. And I also love Green Torch from Half Acre. So that's three favorite beers right now. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's more than we get for most.
Yeah, good.
What is your favorite piece of pop culture? That's we leave it super broad because we let people kind of define it however they want.
It could be like your favorite thing that's recent or like your favorite band, favorite TV show, things like that.
One of our former guests was talking about like cat memes on the internet. So yeah. Like,
well, I feel like I am really loving the return of butt rock and
yes.
The fact that like Creed and Limp Bizkit have just taken over my entire For You page. So I'm really into it. I love them. I'm here for everything it stands for. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's a weird fact about
weird
you?
Fact. I have so many. weird fact right now. Let's see. I actually, oh my gosh. I have a really fun scar from tying a rope to my sister's bicycle and letting her pull me around on rollerblades and my hand getting stuck in between the spokes. Yeah, of the bike and the bike frame. So... I guess it's kind of weird, but it's my favorite like story to tell of, look how cool I was doing this really rad trick and then tripped and hit a stick and got my hand stuck.
We love a good like body weird fact.
Those are always smart.
Body weird facts are good.
It's like 70% of what people pick is when you say a weird fact. They're like, well, let me tell you about this weird thing my body does or I have on my body.
I guess we're all just self-centered and it's the first thing that comes to mind.
I don't know if you've met our friend Trevor, but his fun fact is that he can put both of his feet behind his head.
That's always impressive.
Yeah. And then we made him do it once.
The thought of that makes me wildly uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable sometimes because we'll be like video chatting with him and his leg is just behind his head sometimes. he's stretching. Like during COVID, we played games or like talk to each other. On video chat a lot, and like he would just be like laying in bed with his legs behind his head. We're just like, you gotta not do that.
You gotta warn
like
him.
You gotta
warn
him. Sign on, and that's how he's sitting. That would throw me off for sure.
Cool. So that's the four.
Mm-hmm. And then right now for our episode beer of the day, we're actually drinking a beer that you had a collaborative hand in making.
Yeah, 12 Foot Skeleton. It's a beer I made with Old Irving. Trevor, the owner, is one of my very close friends, and we both love Halloween, and I got the 12-foot skeleton, the infamous 12-foot skeleton from Home Depot, put them up on my patio, and Trevor thought it was rad, and we decided to name the beer that.
Do you still have that skeleton?
I do.
Does he have a name?
He's in rough shape. Yeah, so Dan and Claire, friends of mine, they named him Boner, which is like the most appropriate name ever. But he's in rough shape. He's fallen off this patio a few times now due to Chicago weather. I leave him up year-round. So he is now probably about 6 feet tall. His legs aren't attached anymore. And he's got like a chunk missing out of the skull part. But, you know, he's doing his best. I'm a neglected mother for sure. So
he's all of us after a night of drinking.
Honestly, like there are days I look at him. It's just I'm sitting on the patio. It's like me, Boner, and then Jepson, my dog. And we're just hanging out and we're all in rough shape. And, you know, but we're doing the best we can.
Love that.
Yeah. You guys will have to check him out next time you're over at the house, because he is...
Did you have that up when we had your party?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's on the very front patio.
Oh.
At one point, he was, like, overlooking the neighborhood, and it was really cool, and people would, like, stop at the corner and glance up, and now I think people are just weirded out, because he keeps getting more and more disabled, and it makes everyone uncomfortable.
But just for context, for what I was trying to figure out what this beer actually has in it, that's what I was trying to find. So it's made with almond, toasted coconut, and cacao nibs. And this thing is hefty.
Yes.
She is a hefty
seller. Oh, yeah. I guess we are talking about that beer. We are, we wanted a, because it came out around Halloween, we wanted our favorite candy. And I'm more of like a chocolate peanut butter person, but that had already been made at Old Irving. So we went with an Almond Joy. That was that.
I love Almond
that
Joy.
That route.
I do too.
Yeah.
I love this beer.
But it's held on pretty well.
Yeah, you said you released this in 21,
22? 22, I believe. No, 23. 23? Not sure. It's been a year, so 22.
Okay.
It would make
okay.
sense. Yeah, it's been over a year, so 2022, that fall.
Yep.
So we talked about putting it in barrels at some point, too. So that might happen, maybe.
Oh.
We'll see.
Bring
the
it
barrel-aged
back.
Version. Yeah, we'll see.
How strong do you think that barrel-aged version would be?
How strong
this thing's already 12.
I know.
This is the 12%.
When you barrel-age stuff, it usually takes, like, honestly, it's only going to gain another percentage or two, maybe three. So
yeah.
I would say it probably clock out at, like, 14. What's Krampus? That's their...
Well, I know the one Krampus that they only released in the tap room was, like, 19.
Oh, yeah. That's almost... like a liquor at
that
point. Yeah. I would guess like 14% would make sense for this one.
I had a crazy 17% beer at Goose Island on Friday. They did like a barley wine with more brewing.
Oh yeah. How was that?
It was interesting. I liked, cause like I tried all three in like a little mini vertical almost. Horizontal. It's not actually a vertical, but whatever. So I did the Goose Island one, the more one, and then the collaborative brandy barley wine, like the one they did together, and the Goose one was by far my favorite.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I also am just not like a barley wine person. It's a very distinctive flavor that I'm just kind of like not about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good face to make. Barley wines are hit or miss for me. I think I've grown into them a little more, but I'm more like a 5 ounce barley wine person at the most.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think I got like a half of a half pour because I was like, I'm not.
Right.
I know I'm not going to like this, but I'm going to try it because my friend is working and just handed it to me.
Yeah, I'm not a barley wine girly either, so I get it.
Not a barley wine girl. Let's get shirts that say that.
That's the shirt for the women in beer.
Right, yeah. Not a barley wine girl.
All right, so let's kind of get started talking about, like, I guess, and I don't even think I know some of this stuff about you, but how did you get started in beer?
I needed a part-time job because of my stupid Jeep Wrangler, which is now a decade-long nuisance of my life. I worked in a pharmacy. I'd finished school, was kind of, like, just not thrilled about my job. And loved craft beer, and a brewery had opened up in the town I lived in, Only Child in Gurnee. And they were looking for a bartender one night a week. So I went in, got the job, funny enough, because I had a hop tattooed on my arm.
Hop tattooed on your
arm?
Yes,
it did not hurt the interview at all. But little one. And this is actually, this is inspired, nice little side story, inspired by... a PBR can when I was sitting in Nashville one day. So it's like, I need this tattooed. But yeah, I went in there and the owner, Ben Rossi, was cool. I had no, other than drinking craft beer, no bartending experience. And he let me come on one day a week. And then all of a sudden it was a couple days a week. And then I was working beer fests and then running the tap room, hosting events there. And it just kind of went from there. I quit my job, the other job, and went full time there. And now it's been like 8.5 years.
Wow. You've been all over the place in the industry too.
Yeah, a little bit.
So you said this was a beer bar?
It was a brewery. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They don't exist anymore. He has a new spot in Milwaukee called the Copper Turtle. But yeah, it was in Gurnee for a while. I think maybe they were probably around for like 6 years, maybe.
Okay.
So then after that, is that when you moved over to Microphone?
Yes. Left there, went to Microphone as their, what was my official title? Manager of marketing and social media, I believe. Okay. And then I ran events there and was there for like 6 months, and then COVID hit. And then everyone's job like changed. Yeah. Everyone's role changed. But I got to stay on and did a lot more in the tap room and public facing events, more beer fests. And then left there 2023. Nope. My dates are wrong. I've been at Salem for 1.5 years. So I left there 1.5 years ago and then went to Salem officially.
Where you just do everything.
Yeah. Officially, my title is hospitality and event manager, but I get my hands in as much as possible.
Yeah, you guys have been doing a ton of events with Salem lately, too, which has been so much fun. It's fun for us to go to everything.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's two tap rooms. We're always trying to find things that like appeal to people in the neighborhood, and whether it's family friendly, and then maybe we'll do something a little less family friendly. But it's been a lot of fun to plan cool parties, I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's what we get to do every day, is just plan a big party.
I love planning a party, so I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fun, too, because there's so much of you as well, like, in the parties that we've attended, that it's just, I think it's fun to go to them. Because, like, I mean, the new metal, new year, that was so much fun.
Speaking of Creed, yeah.
But, yeah, it just felt, like, so of the vibe. Like, so, such of, sorry, it felt like the vibe of the brand, right? Like,
yeah.
There was you in there, but there was so much Solemn in there, and it wasn't just like, sometimes breweries will throw an event, and you're like, well, this doesn't really make sense.
This doesn't fit in the space,
Yeah,
that's hard not to do. I've done that a few times where we try, you know, play, you do yoga, you do this, and, like, it doesn't always feel authentic to your brand, and Solemn is very big on feeling authentic to the brand. They're a very well-developed brand, which I've always, like, aligned with, which is easy, then, to do an event.
It's,
oh, you like cool metal stuff and having fun and being a little snarky? I think I can handle that.
So, we talked about the spirit that you were a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how you got into the brewing? So, was it just
you and Trevor shooting the shit?
Yeah. This was your first one. No?
No. I've actually made a few beers. This was, like, the first collaboration I did outside of a brewery, where I was not part of a brewery when I made this beer.
Sure,
I had just left Microphone. We were hanging out, having lunch at Old Irving one day, and talking about my 12-foot skeleton, Halloween, and it just kind of happened. And Trevor is, like, the most supportive, rad dude ever, and he was all for it. And, you know, like, when it comes to brewing, I can't write a recipe, but I can definitely give a lot of input on maybe whether it's the hop profile or the grain bill. When it comes to the techniques of the brewing process, I leave that to the pros.
To the qualified individuals.
To the qualified individuals. Yeah, I'm like, this is what I would like to taste like. Can you make that happen for me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. So, yeah, this was the first one outside of a brewery, but I have made a few. I actually had some at Only Child that I got to help be a part of. I think I did like a sour ale.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah. It was great with raspberry. We called it Pretty Dece. So that was fun. And it was a one and done kind of thing. And then we did a Microphone. We did a women's beer. We actually did a couple women's beers there. And then now at Salem, we're doing our women's beer right now. So.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about that then, so that we were going to get to that at some point. Can you kind of give some context as to how you put this whole thing together? Because I know you kind of just invited us to be like, hey, come do this thing. This will be cool.
Kind of how I put it together.
I think just to run it back, though, like, can you talk about where, like, why you wanted to do this and, like, where the concept came from?
Yeah. So I have, like I said, I've done a women's spirit microphone. It was a really good way to, like, train the front of house more on the brewing techniques and get them excited about something, help them sell that beer better because they know the ins and outs and they made it, which was cool. And we also got to donate the proceeds to WINGS, which is a really excellent organization that helps people, survivors of domestic abuse in the Chicagoland area. So it was just one of those things to kind of put together and do, and it was good practice. But ultimately, I wanted to open this up to anybody that, like, participated in craft beer in some way in Chicagoland. So whether you worked at a brewery, a bottle shop, a restaurant, a podcast, if you organized events, kind of like, I think On the Way events participated in it. Rachel Morrison, who you guys mentioned, she also writes a blog. So I wanted it to be where if you have your hands in Chicago's craft beer in some way, and you are a woman, non-binary, or trans person, just to kind of get everyone in one room to be like, here's X number of other people that are doing the same thing you're doing. So if you need to call someone because you have a question or you want to pick someone's brain or you just had a really shitty day and you want to, like, go have a beer with somebody, you have, like, endless amount of options and support, which is really important because I feel like 10 years ago in beer, you'd walk in a room for an event and there'd be, like, a handful of women. And now we're, like, I mean, 120 of us or 113 of us at this event. But, yeah, it's been a big deal, I think, really. The most important reason was networking and support, like giving people just resources.
We've had a very good time with the networking of it all. We had a blast at both events.
Yeah, it's fun because it's like we're all, everyone's super different and we might not get together outside of beer, but like this is the one thing that brought us together. So now we can start to find, oh, maybe you're into this band or maybe you live in this neighborhood or whatever it is, but it's someone that you might feel comfortable with that you end up hanging out with.
That's what I thought was really cool about the event was, like, every time we go to beer events or, like, to beer fests or breweries, like, it is mostly, like, men that you see. And to see all of those women there that were so excited to meet each other and to learn, it was just, like, so inspiring just how exciting or excited everyone was and how, like, friendly. Like, everyone was just happy to be there, happy to meet other people. And it was kind of, like, the same thought everyone had.
There was a very cool energy in the room, for sure.
Oh, yeah. The hop taster, the hop, you know, the hop selection night I thought was really interesting. That was probably, like, my biggest educational experience with all of that, because I've gone through sensory panels and stuff before, working in the food industry. Like, I know, Lindsay, you've done quite a bit of it, too, but applying it to the beer process, I think, was just kind of, like, merging those two experiences I thought was really interesting.
So I've never done that side of it. That's going to be interesting to, like, put that together and experience that. That's probably one of my favorite events just because, I mean, I've done it a few times, but it is exciting every time to be like, here are these hops, let's go through them and figure out those, like, sensory words or the, that lexicon that we printed out. Like, just whatever pops into your head. And that's why Shayna kept saying vibes, vibes, vibes. And, like, go with your gut because, yes, there's a list of, like, words that we can use to describe this hop. But at the end of the day, you might be like, this tastes like pink bubblegum to me. So, I just think it's fun and educational for sure. But I think it loosens everybody up, too. Like, at first, everyone's a little stiff and, oh, I'm in a room with a bunch of women I don't know, which can be intimidating and scary. And then all of a sudden, you're all standing around a table and you're joking around and you're making, like, cracks at, like, oh, this smells weird or this smells really good or whatever, so.
I mean, my favorite part, was that because when we're standing around the table, like, we just kept joking that these all smell like weed. We're like, this one straight smells like weed. And it was, like, the conversation, it was, like, it's so easy to have when you're like, oh, yeah, this, I don't know what this is, I don't know what this smells like. And then someone would be like, it smells like weed.
It's like you're using a grinder at the same time.
It just broke the ice. And, like, I thought super cool, like, how often do you get, like, a master class, essentially? And, like, the lexicon and the profiles and, like, what hops do, like, taste like what and what they do and what they impart. You never kind of get that exposure. And to have Shayna there was, I think, super valuable. I learned way more than just, like, I ever
really have to drink. No, she's like, I cannot express how much I, like, look up to her. but also is genuinely someone that I love hanging out with because she'll also drink like a crappy beer at a dive bar with you and play darts. And yeah. She is one of the most like educated and well-versed in beer, women in beer. And it's hard not to like fangirl out over her. And she
gets
so like uncomfortable when I do it, but I'm like, you're so cool though.
Her like knowledge base like absolutely blows my mind. Yeah. Like I remember you coordinated an event at the Solemn Tap Room in the city where like you just invited a bunch of us to hang out and network. And I was talking with her a lot and I was like, you are incredible. Like this is amazing. Like I just want to hear you talk about your beer knowledge forever.
Yeah. So she does the podcast with Doug from Revolution that they record at Beer Temple all the time. So you actually can listen to her talk about beer, which is cool. She's just a blast though. Like she is someone you can use as a resource, but also is someone that is so much fun to hang out with and is such a supportive member of like the community in general, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing I wanted to note regarding like the beer release and the whole process, every bit of it felt thoughtful. Like, I feel like sometimes people or companies will throw events and it's sort of like a last minute thing. Like, oh yeah, we want to do this, but then they don't think about the process of it or the steps of it. And every bit of the process of making this beer, from like the events, from the communication, from like the label artwork, like every bit of it felt so thoughtful and so like intentional.
Oh, thank God.
And I love that. Like the style was thoughtful, like the hop selection, like the choices of the hops that went into it. There was a discussion on that, a discussion on the names, like you involved everybody in every part of it. And the, like every bit of it felt like intention. Like, I think the thing that for me, I think about a lot is like the label, the label itself like has bits of like everybody.
That was hard.
Claire did a great job with that.
Shout out to Claire. Amazing. That was really difficult. That was my priority for this, and it's something I wanted to do for a long time, but kind of waited until December to be like, hey, can I do this year, coming up for Women's Day, to get the approval from the guys at Solemn. And so had I had more time, I might have changed a few more things for sure. I also didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. So part of it was like, cool, we can have 20 women in a room, and we can all pick the name together. We can all vote on this and this together. And then when it ended up being 45 just for hop selection and then 85 at the brew day, and then it was like 113 altogether participating, it was like, well, all right, as much as I want everyone's input, and I want it to feel like it's yours and you had as much of a say in this as possible.
You have to drive it.
We had to drive it. And there were some things too where I'm like, okay, we had to drive the name and we had all these really cool suggestions, but then we have to look at, has that name been used? Does it fit with the brand? Mm-hmm. Is it culturally appropriate? Which sometimes it sounds like it is, and then you look and you're like, well, maybe not.
Maybe we should not use
that. Maybe we'll be very canceled if we use this. So little things like that. The hop selection was, I would say, the most hands-on, where people legitimately, we used the top 4 hops that everyone voted on. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. The style too, same thing. Like a lot of us wanted a lighter beer, but that takes longer in our tanks.
Yep.
And does not always sell as well in package, whereas like draft lagers pour and sell crazy. But we also know IPAs are like the number one selling style, and that's easy to do. So, or pale ale. I appreciate that because it was like that was my priority, but it is also hard to say, to draw that line and be like, I need to drive this and be a leader, but also want everyone to be involved as possible and not hurt anyone's feelings doing this.
Yeah. And I like to think that it was very understandable because at the end of the day, this is going under a brewery. It is going under their brand, and they're the ones that are investing the money into making this. And I think like totally understand that it had to be something accessible, it had to be something that people were going to want. And that just kind of opens up the doors for another future event. Like if this one does well, who knows how many other breweries are going to try and do the same thing, or how many other times you get to do this at Solemn. So I definitely think this first time, like trying or having to kind of manage it throughout the process makes sense. But the label, like when you posted it, Steph and I were talking, we're like, there's a little microphone and that's us.
That's
We were like, I don't know if it is, but we're going
to
say it.
I tried to like really, Claire and I sat down and we made a list of like little things that we could put in there. And you know, my bosses were like, put a little thing in there for you. So I put a little Chicago rat in there. And yeah, so he's like at the doorway of the arch. But things that inspired me, but also, you know, trying to take myself out of it and realize, again, like looking at women historically in Chicago as a group of people that came together and did like really cool stuff. And it was like the Hull House and Jane Addams and then Ida Wells. And there was a women's group in the 70s that got together in Belmont and they created a lot of artwork for the women's rights movement. So mm-hmm. that's where that little women working sign came from and everything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the style, the colors too, the colorways mm-hmm. were all very like 70s inspired by that. So there's a lot of little things in there and then trying to just include everyone. Mm-hmm. Red Boot, which was kind of my shout out to the Pink Boots, which yep. is, you know, Pink Boots has always done like a really similar thing, but they are, you have to like a certain percentage of your income has to come from working in beer to be a part of that group.
And you pay I did not realize that.
And then you pay dues. And then when you do the beer, although there's a hop selection for Pink Boots, it's nationally determined. And so then you have to use that selection. Okay. So it has the best of intentions. It's a wonderful group. The gals running it right now, I think, are going to do some really cool things with it. But I really wanted to like not be told what to do with this project and go as mm-hmm. much as we could and push boundaries and include people that otherwise might not have been involved in it mm-hmm. kind of thing. So yeah. that's how I got you guys suckered into it. So.
I mean, it was a really fun experience for us. But while we're talking about the beer, do you want to talk about vibes since 1920?
Yeah.
We haven't actually talked about.
Yeah.
So we haven't. This is the first time we've dropped the name.
I can't wait. Vibes since 1920. So it is a pale ale. The hops are, they lean towards more of the classic side with Citra, Amarillo, and Cascade. And it is, but then we also added Wakatu, which is a New Zealand hop. Mm-hmm. And that's going to give it that like pop of like tropical fruit notes in it. So it's going to look like a classic pale ale, nice and clear. But you're going to get some of those like really juicy notes after that like piney resin mm-hmm. kind of layer hits you. So I think it's going to be approachable, super easy to drink, which is cool. And we end up, so the day you guys were there was brew day. We did a 60 barrel batch, and based on like the pre-orders and the demand and the media surrounding it, we decided, the guys brewed it like 2 days later. They brewed another 30 barrels. So there's 90 barrels of this beer coming out.
Wow. Yeah. Cause we, there were two news stations that came through during mm-hmm. brew day.
Yeah.
So that's been publicized pretty heavily. I know the Brewers Guild's been sharing stuff about it.
Yeah, it was the Naperville Sun also wrote an article and it was featured on the Trib, which was really cool. And I think local channels are going to be there on the release date, too. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So, yeah, release date is March 8th, Friday, March 8th for International Women's Day. We're releasing it at both of our locations. And then there's 45 other people that have already pre-ordered it, which I think that number is going to grow in the next week or two, but 45 other spots around the Chicagoland area that you can have that beer on draft or in cans.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think they're all releasing around the same kind of time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the reception? So, you know, you mentioned that you weren't expecting, you were expecting 20 people maybe, ooh. And then huge reception from the people involved, but from the reception of, like, media, like, people picking it up, I feel like it's just gotten kind of crazy. Like,
yeah,
you know, the first thing that you mentioned, like during the hop selection, was like, oh, there might be a news crew. And then as it started to, like, there started to be more information about it. I've just seen it everywhere.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's really rad to see. It's a little scary, a little little pressure when you have eyes on you, and it doesn't leave a lot of room for mistakes. That's for sure. But I'm excited. I think it puts a lot of the women that were involved in a place that they might not have been before. So, you know, they're not always the front of their brewery or the face of their brewery, and maybe it makes them more confident to do that, or it gets them more excited to be a voice for the place that they work for, but a voice for a woman in the industry. So that's kind of like a really cool byproduct of it. Like watching them share like the pictures or like, hey, look, I was on the news. And
yeah,
I love that. I think that's really rad. And the reception's been awesome so far. Like, and people who have purchased the beer that didn't send anyone out to like mm-hmm. participate, but they're like, I still want to sell this beer because I like believe in the project and love what's happening with this. So that's pretty cool.
And you've had like a lot of support or talked about like maybe not, I don't know what kind of support you've been getting, but from like the big breweries. in Chicago that are, like, more men. It's
wild.
Like, you've been getting, yeah, like, contacted by them, asking how they can support, and I think it's really exciting to see that, like, even if they're not involved, they want to help support, like, this kind of initiative, because, you know, getting women involved is, like, they're women that work there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they understand the importance of that, and, again, like, providing a networking and a resource for their staff, even. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
They're getting it. You know, I was talking to Doug about that from Revolution, and Rev came out hard. I think they have, like, 9 or 10 people all together, which
oh,
is
yeah.
the mm-hmm. most from, like, any one place, including Salem. And they, you know, he was just really supportive and loved the concept of it, loved the idea of it, and the fact that they have such a big staff. And, they, you know, I feel like sometimes owners or managers aren't always really sure how to support their staff outside of, like, the office or the building,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's this really good way of being like, okay, cool, this is happening. It doesn't cost you anything other than, like, just showing up, and we're going to help support you so that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is huge, because it was, like, a Tuesday brew day, right?
Yeah. So, we both took vacation time.
Yeah,
to
see,
go
like, yeah,
there,
you know,
so.
It's not easy to do stuff like that.
Right.
And so it makes all the difference when an owner supports it, for sure. But yeah, I mean, those are, like, my bucket list breweries, like Half Acre and Rev and
yeah.
places like that. Jumping in, you're like, damn, this is really cool.
This is a real thing
yeah.
that's happening.
I think the other really cool thing was having Michelle Foyt there from
Oh,
Harris.
My God, yeah.
She is
I know
so fucking cool.
She is so cool.
And I know it meant a lot to you, because
yeah.
she's, like, your mentor.
Yeah.
But having her there was so, like, we had so many conversations about, like, how inspiring it is, because she talked about, like, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when she was brewing. Like, this was not something that happened.
Right.
And she, I remember specifically, like, she and I were having a conversation. She talked about how she felt so burnt out lately. Like,
mm-hmm.
she was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. It's, like, it's not something that I'm excited about anymore. And then she said, like, seeing this, though, all these women here getting together, getting excited, talking to each other. She was like, this is, like, I'm inspired again. Like, I want to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's so cool that she feels that way, but that's, like, you know, a few of us that have been doing this for a while, and I feel like I'm still relatively new, being 8.5, 9 years in. You know, you have people like Foyk, who's been doing it for a couple of decades, and a couple other folks that have been doing it for a long time, and we're all kind of standing off to the side, looking at the room and being like, this is so cool. We don't know most of the women in this room
yeah.
because they're young and they're new and they're excited, and they're like, that alone was exactly what I needed to take from this project, was like, I'm tired. I'm burnt out. We, you know, not just the pandemic, but, like, it is not an easy industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It is fun as hell. But, like, as you get older, too, in this industry, it's, like, it is it's a lot. You're working for a small business at the end of the day. You're trying to make a difference, but you're also trying to get your job done. You're
mm-hmm.
trying to balance your life with it. But, you know, then there's always some beer-related event to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And to look around that room and, like, see their excitement and be, like, they're so into this, it, like, made us all kind of fall in love with beer again. And, like,
mm-hmm.
okay, cool. This is why I'm doing this. Like, I wanted everyone to take from this project what they needed to take from it, whether it was an education part or a networking part. For me, it was, like, I want to be excited to be able to keep doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
that was what I needed, was people to just be like, hell yeah, let's go. I almost said, hell yeah, brother.
You could have.
Yeah,
we would have been here for it. I love how you looked at me.
I did, because I think it's, like, something about you. Like, I looked and I was like, I need to say it right now. Yeah, that's it. It's honestly the best, though. It is really exciting.
Have you, obviously, were you working in beer throughout the pandemic as well? I did not write this down. I just kind of thought about this. How have you, like, seen things kind of shift and change a little bit? Because I know, like, obviously, like, we're at a kind of a turning point in the Chicago beer industry right now, where, like, places that have been around,
right.
and, like, industry staples are now gone.
Right. That's a lot.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a little sad. It's scary to think about. I think that, I mean, clearly, businesses in general, whether it's beer or not, are changing after the pandemic. Everyone's feeling that, but we're definitely feeling it in the hospitality industry, which ultimately most craft beer is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think the most important thing to remember is that you're going to see these places that create a place for their community, where they're hosting events and they are providing a spot where someone feels safe and welcome and excited to be there. Because those people are the ones that show up every day. They're not showing up for that big hype release or anything like that, which are huge. Those are important to have, but it's the people that are there on the slow Sunday or a Monday night, you know, and it's because it's their neighborhood spot. So, yeah, I think really creating and having, like, incredible service and those types of things are going to make all the difference when it comes to how this is shifting and changing. But with such a big market, I don't think a lot of us are surprised. We're just kind of bummed that it's happening. And, of course, you don't want to see this happen to your friends or people you care about. But I think, you know, people are still going to drink. They're still going to go out and do things. And I think you just need to find that beyond just giving a beer, what else are you doing in your space?
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it. Because I know the breweries and just bars in general that we spend the most time at are places that we feel like we've made that, like, connection with the staff to some extent. Yeah. Even if we don't go there a ton, but if the staff was cool that time we're there, we're like, oh, yeah, I like that place. Let's go back there.
Yeah. It's huge. It's something I try and stress with the staff. So I oversee both locations in the front of house, and then there's taproom managers as well. So it's something we're constantly striving for. It's like creating that environment that you want to come back no matter what. Your beer's good for sure, but like you want to come back because your staff is there and they're awesome and they know people by their first name. They know what beer they like. They know what they've been up to.
I definitely think that means a lot. Like as just a consumer, like even if you know we're not friends like with people there. That like personality, like personable aspect of it. Like I know like Dante's, we started going to Dante's a lot and like
Dante's Thursdays, right?
Dante's Thursdays. But as an example, like we got to know Ashley and like, we were just going back cause it's like Ashley works Thursdays. Let's go say hi. And like, it's fine. Cause she asks about us and I totally agree. Like once you kind of have that like personal connection, like it's the spot. It becomes your spot.
Yeah. Even when when I worked at a Starbucks in college, one of the big things they stressed to us was like the customer connection. Even if it's a person you've never seen before, but like if you kind of like maintain that like connection to the people that are coming, and I think the bars, restaurants, whatever that do that and do a good job of that, like people will continue to come back.
Yeah, no one wants to sit at a bar and feel like they're either being ignored or like that person's annoyed by them.
Yeah,
especially craft beer where they're. It's not as easy as going into a sports bar and ordering your favorite thing. It is more involved. Or you want to know more about it. What's this artwork on the wall? How'd you get your name? How did this happen? And so, like, no one wants to be annoyed or feel like they're annoying. Right? So, yeah, that's a big deal.
I will say, too, I think at least because we spent, you know, a good amount of time at the Solemn Oath and Logan, even one thing I've noticed is even when it's packed to the gills, there's a line to order beer, people will be like, well, I still want to wait in this line. I'm not just going to leave, which I think is really telling.
Yeah.
It can be that busy and people are like, no, it's okay. I don't mind. I'm happy to continue hanging out here.
Yeah. Woody gets all the credit for that. He and his staff and what they've done there it's incredible. They're all like Logan Square bar vets too, which is cool. They've all worked in beer or at bars. And, but Woody's like his support of his staff and then his strive to make sure that everybody that walks in that door is having a good time and is happy.
He does a great job.
He's excellent. Yeah. He gets so much credit for that. So, you know, I don't want to build his head up too high, but he's a solid.
His ego does not need to get any bigger.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's great. He really deserves all that credit, though. He does a great job with that spot. So, and you know, we have a newer manager in Naperville, and we're really trying to, like, replicate a lot of that environment and that culture.
My first time at the Naperville location was actually a couple weeks ago. Same. We were out there for Brew Day.
Okay, yeah.
We actually don't go to the suburbs for beer as much.
It's hard.
I don't as much either.
Yeah.
We always go to, like, Elmhurst or Villa Park, where where Matt's from, just because like we'll go there real quick and it's super close. But we'll go to Moore or like P3. Those are like the main ones, just because it's right there.
Steve and I have gone out to Microphone quite a bit because he actually really likes those beers.
But it's like the closer suburbs.
Well, it's hard. You're drinking. You want to be mindful of the fact that you have an hour drive.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you want to take it easy. And in the city, you can walk to a brewery, pretty much any neighborhood you're in.
I mean, especially living over here, within 30-minute walk on a nice day, we can get to, like, 7 places.
And it's funny, Matt used to live down the street from Solemn.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that it was Solomon that opened up there, but he would talk about this brewery that he was, like, so excited to open up. He's like, they're taking so long.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think they got the lease, like, back in 2018.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Was, and then...
And then they opened in 21?
21. Yeah, so then the pandemic hit, and then they were like, well,
Yeah.
And then, yeah, opened up 21.
That's what he was saying. Like, it's said that it's coming for a year and a half now, and, like, we moved in 2020, but it had been, like, a year and a half. And eventually... We ended up moving, I think, before you guys opened, and then came back, and you guys were open. He was like, "This is the place, Lindsay. This is the place. I've been telling you. I was so excited for it to open.
The one we've been waiting for." Yeah, I love it. I love having Solemn in the city. Like I said,
I do too.
They're one of the first breweries that I got into when I started working in beer. I had a coworker who took me out there and was like, "You're gonna love this spot. You're gonna love it." And it was at the Naperville Bar. They'd only had that tiny little tap room part. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the rest of it.
That outdoor space.
They didn't have the outdoor
sick.
Space. They had so like cute. Two tables and like a little. That was it. Yeah. But they didn't have any of that. So I just remember like loving it. I loved the music. I loved the art. I loved the names of the beer. I loved the beer. Every beer was solid. And then I just always like kept following them. I love the way Solemn tells a story.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a testament to, like, John Barley and now Jared. Saul is doing our social media, and they just have this really cool voice. And I think that was, like, a big thing for me. Because I don't care otherwise. Like, it's another beer.
Yeah.
Like, tell me why we're drinking this beer. Tell me what this means to you as an owner or whatever.
Yeah. I also remember, I feel like Solemn was one of the first beer, like, breweries I remember being excited to try at, like, Beer Fest and stuff. Like
you couldn't really,
because in the city. You'd see it at Binny's and you're like, oh, cool. But then like, you know,
and it's hard, right? When you're at like Binny's, if you've never had
it's over, an overwhelming number of
selections. There's a ton, but also like the cans don't say a whole lot. Right. And it's hard to like, if you've never tried a brewery before, like you're taking a chance, right? You're gambling on that.
Yeah. And then you're stuck with three and a half beers that you hate.
Yeah. Snaggletooth was always that was my first intro to Solemn.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a great IPA.
It's a crusher.
I do love the vibe. Like, I think my favorite, like, beer bars, breweries are the ones that are, like, kind of metal, like, kind of off the beaten path in that way. And, like, what I love about Solemn is that there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you're not going to a brewery and it's 90% IPAs. Right. Or, like, 70% IPAs, 30% stouts, and then like 10% everything else.
Right.
There's so many different styles that are represented there, and if you don't know what you want, like, somebody there will walk you through it. And I think that's another piece of like that personality bit where like somebody at the brewery is going to help you decide. And I've literally seen people ask questions, and they like the staff will like walk them through like, what do you like? What are you looking for? Like, here's what you might like, and then happy to give you tasters.
Yeah, I think that's a good. Any good brewery should be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, if your brewery isn't doing that, you're doing something wrong, I think. again, it comes back to, like, don't let someone feel like they're annoying you by asking those questions. And I actually bartended yesterday for the first time in, like, over a year. It was really, I was rusty for sure at first. But I got to answer that question to someone who was like, I want an IPA. And I was like, cool, do you want to go more American West Coast or do you want, like, a hazy IPA? And she's like, I don't know. What's the difference? So then I had to, like, walk them through. Here's the different characteristics you're going to get out of this style of beer, which we have, you know, usually with Hidden Hand is our side project. Mm-hmm. We've got 6 or 7 different hazies on at one time. And then here's some of our, like, traditional styles that we've got going on. It was, like, exciting because she was like, oh, that sounds really great. That's exactly what I want to try. And loved it. And was like, okay, cool. We got one in, like. Here we are.
And I agree that most breweries will happily help you.
Right.
But there's, I don't know, when I first got into beer, I felt, like, scared of asking.
Mm-hmm.
And
I still feel scared
of
asking.
So do you think, okay, can I ask, is it, what makes you guys scared?
Well, now that we know enough, we can kind of figure out, we know the styles, we know the flavor profile is from the hops. But there's something intimidating about beer, right? Like, you're at a brewery, and there's tons of people just drinking, and, like, they seem like they know what they're doing.
Do you think that is because, like, you're a woman? Too? Like, do you think that plays any role into it?
I don't know.
Because the staff is primarily male most of the time.
I don't know if that's what it is, or if it's just like...
Curious. Yeah, I've never really thought about it in that way.
I haven't analyzed my own internal.
I know. I'm like, what's wrong?
I bring this up, though, is it just feels like when I go into Solemn, like, I don't... It's so welcoming, and the people... Everyone there is so happy and so, like, friendly that I've never felt like I can't ask a question.
Totally.
Like, I'm afraid of asking a question.
I will say, I think part of it too, for me, I know especially, I was so, I mean, I'm only 30 and like, we've been all doing this podcast for 6 years. Oh, so we started when I was 24.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So like, think about it that way. Like I knew nothing. Yeah. I hadn't even been drinking that long.
Yeah.
So I think that was like the age and lack of experience with it, I think was a big part of it. I didn't even know I liked IPAs until I was 22.
Yeah.
So like, and then we started a podcast 2 years later.
I think it took me longer than that, honestly, to like IPAs.
I didn't really drink beer until I was maybe 24. Okay. Like I was a gin girly for a long time.
And we love a good gin cocktail.
Yeah. We love a good gin girly too. Yeah.
That's why I'm predisposed to like Malort.
Right. Yeah. I
could not tell you because I worked in service like all through college. Okay. So I was happy to answer people's questions, but being on the other side of that, I could not tell you why it was intimidating. And yeah. I think it's maybe because it's so male driven, I felt like I was intruding.
But like it is ultimately not having the confidence. Because there's the lack of knowledge or they're busy and I don't want to bother them. And like, because they're not fully engaging you and taking that time and not making you feel rushed and being hey, let me walk you through this. Why don't you try this? Oh, you like this? Cool. Here's some other ones that you might like then. Or, hey, are you ready to try something completely outside of pocket for you and see if you like it? Let's see if we can get you there.
I will say now that I like know a lot more about beer, my favorite thing to do is ask the staff, what are you drinking that's on right now?
Yes.
Because that's when I get to try, I think, some of the best, most out there stuff.
Yeah.
It might not even be something I would typically reach for.
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just get burnt out drinking. Like everywhere's got 100 IPAs and, you know, some depending on the brewery. Solemn's a good example of having like variety within the style. But you go to some breweries and you're like, I can't tell the difference between these three beers that I just had. They all taste exactly the same.
They could have poured me the exact same
beer. And it's hard, too. I mean, I think it's hard for breweries to try and make each IPA stand apart.
That's why I like asking. Because then typically everyone's got their own opinion on it. So, and very rarely do they tell me they're drinking an IPA that's on right now.
Oh, yeah.
So
no, I'm not surprised by that at all. It's probably either a lager of some sort or like a really traditional style. Yeah. Yep. Like, here's an English ale.
And I think you bring up something interesting about like the hazies. Mm-hmm. When we did our Standard Deviant interview a couple years ago, Mark said something similar where it's like, there's beers that you make because people will buy it, right? Like you have to have hazies because people love hazies and you have to have like lagers. Then there's beers that like are fun and that you do to experiment. And, it's just, I think the bartender question is the fun one too, because of that. Like they're having the things that are fun that, or drinkable, and they get to try everything. So it's a good question to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes it might be an IPA or a hazy or something kind of trendy, but they're like, I'm excited about it again. I was off of hazies for a while, and then I started at Solemn again and was like, oh, cool, I'm really digging Small Wave.
I live on Small Wave.
Right? Small Wave is one of the only hazies
I drink. It's funny because it's not funny. It's what Solemn set out to do with Small Wave. They wanted it to be a staple, and they wanted it to be Chicago's hazy. They wanted it to be like where you know that hazy is made year round and it's fresh and it's solid. It's a hop selection or a combo that everyone loves. And I could drink Small Wave every day.
I think Steve really likes that beer because he likes going to Solemn in general because you guys actually talk about what hops are in the beer and him having the farnesene oil reactivity. He's like, if I don't know what's in it, I'm just not going to drink it. So, but Small Wave, he's like, oh, I see Small Wave. I know I can have that.
He knows he can have it,
That's like in his brain. It's like he looks for Small Wave.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think that would be frustrating to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So, I'm glad we can help him out with Small Wave.
While we have a little bit of time left, do you want to talk about the distinction between Solemn and Hidden Hand? You kind of mentioned...
Yeah.
I actually don't even think I fully understand
this. Yeah, it's... So, Hidden Hand is Solemn's way of taking, like... basically, it's a really easy way for us to get, like, the freshest products in front of people as soon as possible. Small batch or experimental or different brewing techniques. Like you were saying, when you go into Binny's or a place, do you want to look at 30 different IPAs or... you're going to probably grab something you know, right? You're familiar with it. And whether it's the brand or the beer itself. And so Hidden Hand just kind of evolved from that. And so it's mostly hazies for sure. And then our fooder lagers too, which are these small batch, really cool lagers that we're doing with our fooder. So you'll see those come out. And then we try and do some collaborations and technically Vibe since 1920 is a hidden hand beer. I mean, that's great. It's all part of the three-tier system and, you know, things that we have to do as a really larger brewery. Salem is still, I think we're like the 12th or 15th biggest as far as like volume that we produce every year in the state, which, or at least we were within like the last year or two. So yeah, that's something I don't even realize mm-hmm. that. And I think John had said that the other day and I was like, oh yeah, wow, we actually do pump out a lot of beer. So it is, Hidden Hand is this way of us getting these like really small batch, fresh hop mm-hmm. hazies mm-hmm. and really unique kind of things out the door to people.
One of the other things I want to talk about too, so you obviously are doing a lot of events and coordinating of events and stuff. So can you kind of talk about your involvement with the Illinois Brewers Guild and the events that they put on? Because I know you had a pretty big hand in FOBAP last year.
Yeah, Lager Lounge. So I, you know, when you are part of, when you, most breweries in Illinois, not all, most of us are part of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, which is a nice organization that lobbies for breweries. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, go to Springfield, they fight mm-hmm. for really cool laws for us and everything. So, but they throw events, and those events are fundraising technically for them.
Yep.
FOBAP and then Beer Under Glass are the two big ones that they do every year. And so I started pouring with my brewery way back in the day at those. Got to know people at the guild, was going to guild meetings, which happened quarterly. And then, you know, I got to be really good friends with Katie Carrier, who mm-hmm. basically runs every event that you've been to for the guild in the last mm-hmm. 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And she had, you know, was kicking around, hey, I've got to figure out a way to do some kind of activation on site for FOBAP. Do you know, would your brewery be interested, or would you, do you know anyone who would want to? And I was like, what if we did this? What if we made a little dive bar in the middle of FOBAP? And then it just kind of, again, I feel like I kind of have these silly little ideas, and then they just get a lot bigger than I'm ready for, and then they kind of turn into a thing.
That right there means that they're not silly little ideas. They're, like, ideas that people want.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, I think about what would I want as a consumer. Yeah. Like, when I go out, what do I want to drink?
Yeah.
What do I want to be involved with? What's a cool party that I want to attend versus, mm-hmm. like, if your heart's not into it, it's going to be obvious,
right?
So that's how the Lager Lounge is born. And
we love the Lager Lounge.
I'm very, thank you. Yeah, and so we've just had year two, and it is coming back for year three.
Yay!
Officially. So, yeah, I found out a couple weeks ago that Lager Lounge is happening again.
That's so exciting. Cool.
Yeah.
It was, hopefully it'll be a staple. Like, that's, isn't that crazy to think about? Like, some
crazy
your brainchild.
Wild.
It's just, like, gonna maybe one bit day be a staple.
I think, you know, I think that's kind of, they'll take it, if I decide I don't want to take care of it anymore or run it or anything, it'll still be a thing, which is mm-hmm. cool. I'm just too much of a control freak to, like, let someone else take it yet. But, you know, if there comes a day where it just can't work with my life or my job or whatever it is, I know it's really rad to think, like, oh, they're going to take this party and keep it going.
I know, it was really fun because we have a lot of friends that work in brewing and stuff at this point now. And, like, everyone's just, like, in the day of Lager Lounge.
That's where we all want to hang out. Yeah.
Everyone was in there.
Well, I think, you know, FOBAP is such a prestigious thing. And there's nothing like trying some of the best barrel-aged beers in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy,
it's
right?
It's wild.
And these are beers that are not often easily replicated or might never be replicated again.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to be there, but also, like, you can only have so many before you need to cleanse that palate.
Yep. Yeah.
And what better than,
like,
fake wood paneling and popcorn and a shitty, or I shouldn't say that, I should say some of the city's best lagers, for sure. it's fun. I'm looking forward to it this year, for sure.
I think it'll be exciting to see how it grows. Like,
yeah, I think we need a bigger room.
Yeah.
Not, like, that little side area?
Well, someone was like, you know, we should really, like, throw a fest that's like this, where it's all lagers and, you know, light stuff. And I was like, that's a normal beer fest. That's what they used to be.
Yeah.
And then you'd have one or two barrel-aged beers off in the mm-hmm. corner, right? Like, it used to be lagers. And I mean, I remember, like, my first beer fest, it was, like, Linepools and Lagunitas and Sam Adams had booths there, right?
Yeah.
So it was, like, you were getting in line to try a Boston lager, and it was wild. So, it's really weird to think, like, those have evolved and changed, and I think sometimes we're now, like, it's just, like, 90s clothes came back in, so old school beer fest vibes are coming back in.
I think we've talked about this, too, before, but I think there's just, like, a fatigue.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, there's barrel-aged beers and really hoppy IPAs and hazies. they had their moment, and like I think a lot of people are fatigued, and they're starting to go back to that old school style of what's an easy drinking beer.
Yeah,
I just want something that's easy.
I
want
to sit and have a beer while I talk to somebody. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying is like, yes, you want to have the trendy stuff too, but you've got to find that balance mm-hmm. of a style that is appropriate for everyone, and ultimately a couple of really well-made, consistently well-made beers mm-hmm. that you have on, and when they walk in, they know they can get that beer, mm-hmm. and they're going to enjoy it, no problem.
And then they know that they can get that beer year-round,
yeah.
too. Like,
or like, think, or it's seasonal, maybe, like, oh yeah, okay, maybe I'm not going to get...
At least you know it's right. coming.
You're like, all right, it's not necessarily a porter season right
yeah,
now, but
right.
yeah, totally.
And I think that's an interesting, like, aspect to have for Phobat, because it is such rare stuff.
Yeah.
And so heavy that having that kind of break is such a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, it's hard to drink 20.
Right.
15. I don't know how many you get, but how many
yeah.
people drink, but.
It's a lot. Yeah. I'm sure there, I've seen some people that drank way more there for sure.
Oh yeah. I've seen some people
to have
real
that
like messed up.
Break.
Right.
Phobat,
yeah.
That, like, break. You're not, it's not, you know, your palate's getting a rest, but you're also getting the ABV rest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're taking a rest for a second,
yeah.
but still enjoying yourself and having a good time.
Yeah.
And so at Phobat, there's the Brewer's Lounge, which if you're a brewer, you get access to, and that's awesome because it has all of those light beers and some
mm-hmm.
food and whatever, but the general public doesn't get that. And
yeah.
so, like, I feel like I just want, like, I'm all about including the people that buy our beer and support us day in and out, and they show up to all of the events that we're throwing and whatever, and, like, giving them something, too. Like, we're,
yeah.
yeah, you guys paid money to be here. Like, what else can we do to make sure this
yeah.
is the best experience?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Thank you. Yeah.
I've heard nothing
but
good
things
about it.
I think we should get Lager Lounge t-shirts
like.
This year for sure. Like, I feel like it's got to be a thing this
should
year.
Should the Lager Lounge say not a barley wine girl?
Yeah. Honestly, I love it. Like a nice little hashtag, not a barley wine girl. Honestly, love that idea. I'm going to have to talk to Derek about it for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get Derek involved.
For sure, yeah. I love it. I mean, yeah. And then, you know. We get to do cool things like I'll get to see you guys at Riot Fest.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yes. the crotch malort's coming back.
Yeah, crotch malort.
Yeah. I forgot. About
I think
that.
That's when I truly was like, these are my people. Like,
when I pulled malort out of my
yeah.
bag, I was like, sorry, this is warmer than it is.
it was body temperature. For sure.
It was inside my t-shirt.
That's like the funny thing is like you meet all these people in beer. And like I said, you have beer in common.
Yeah.
But are they women or people that I would hang out with outside of work? Not always.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not always everyone's favorite, but then I like, you meet,
I find that hard to believe.
You, no.
Just because we love you. So
but you meet your tribe and you're like, oh shit, like I can go have a beer with this person and it is going to be a great time.
Oh,
or
yeah.
we're going to have this band and this crotch malort together. we're going to have the greatest time with it.
We're going to
so.
Drink crotch malort and go
yeah.
see Turnstile.
Yeah.
Like.
Crotch malort and
disclaimer,
turnstile.
I did not, for any Riot Fest people listening, I did not sneak malort into Riot Fest. I would never do that.
She would never, ever.
We paid for the malort. Like,
we did the $11 malort shots.
Yep. We just held them for so long that they got very warm and, you know, that's the route we
Riot
had to
Fest
go. Yeah.
Ryan Mike's not listening to
no.
this.
No.
Anthony might.
You know what? One day, though, there's going to be people, like, something will happen. But what's great is we started off so seriously of, like, hey, we're doing this really cool women's beer. Look at what we're doing. And now
and
we're talking
look
about
at us speaking
or,
in
yeah.
booze yeah. music festivals.
Drunk and uncultured right there. We couldn't have a very serious podcast.
No.
Together,
no.
right? No.
No, this is...
I'd be so uncomfortable. Yeah, I'd be so
even
uncomfortable.
Even like, just the two of us, it's never serious.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I love that, like, you guys gave a platform to talk about this, and that's very cool, but, like... Yeah, I want to talk about crotch malort for sure.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the episode, crotch malort?
Yeah, honestly. Crotch malort and women's
beer. Should we get Riot Fest shirts that say crotch malort?
They might actually search you at some
yeah.
point. But I'm here for it. I mean, I've seen some weird shirts there, so
yeah.
they'll probably get away
my
with it.
My favorite shirt at Riot Fest was the
I'd ass.
Oh my god.
Wait,
I
have a photo of it. On my Instagram feed.
Yeah,
you did on the Riot Fest.
I love
yeah.
shirts like that. I was at Wrigley last summer, I think, seeing, it was whenever Def Leppard was here and Poison and whatever. And so I was at that show and there was this guy, like the guy you would imagine, like when I say this, you're going to picture him in your head and it is that guy. And he was wearing a shirt that said something like, your wife wants to fuck me. And
I
was just like, I
love that.
I was like, wow, that is confident and bold from a man. that looks like his name is like Billy Bob or something. Like, no offense, Billy Bob's here it is. There, but yeah. Oh wow, that's a decorative one too. Oh my god. Oh my god, if he wore that on his Tinder profile, I'm pretty sure I've seen guys wear shirts like that on Tinder before. That just say I eat ass.
We all slut shame in this.
No, dude, I'm here for it. Listen. As someone who has spent time on Tinder, and as someone that is very pro women and a feminist, I do not slut shame.
I also spent some time on Tinder because that's how I met Steve.
Okay, love it. Yeah. Did he have a shirt that said I eat ass?
Should we get Steve a shirt that says I eat ass?
I think that's why I like you two as a couple. I like Steve because I would not normally like put you guys together. Like, you know, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, they're a couple. And it makes perfect sense to me now. But I would never right off the bat be like, oh yeah, that they make sense to me. Because I feel like he probably says, dear God, why? Pretty often.
Oh yeah. I think he said it a lot. I asked
or him just, like, yesterday.
I've seen him like just kind of shake his head or like kind of go like, fuck.
Yesterday I was like, should I make Stephanie finish my beer because I want to go home? And he was like, dear God, why would you do that, Lindsay? God, why? Because she doesn't need another beer.
Man, I'm coming up with like a whole set of shirts for Riot Fest, and Steve will probably say, dear God, why?
That reminds me, I saw a t-shirt that literally just says, please do not give me a cigarette, even if I ask for one. Please, dear God, don't give me a cigarette.
I love it.
I love that.
I'm all about it. You know, proclaim yourself to the world.
Matt has agreed that he would wear a shirt with my face on it. Only ironically, though.
We gotta get him one of those, like, so tropical funny button-down shirts, yes, where your face is just all
the,
over.
It's like a whole pattern.
He
yeah
would wear that, ironically.
I actually, so there's a company, because I just ordered one with my dog on it.
Yeah, it's like one of those.
It's like the
yeah
old school one where it's not the tropical shirt. It's like where it's no, like it says three like or four. Name. Yeah, and so it's like the name, but and then it's like three or four different pictures.
Oh, wait. That's yeah, the that's one like I haven't seen yes.
So that's the one I asked him if he would wear.
Okay, amazing.
We were watching the 49ers game, and George Kittle came out with one with his wife's face yes on it. And I was like, Matt, would you?
Dude, that's...
Would you wear a shirt with my face on?
It's like a ride or die.
And he was like, yeah, ironically, though, if it was, like, your birthday.
We got
yeah
those shirts for my friend's 30th.
That's perfect. That's exactly yeah it. Yeah. I just ordered one with my dog on it, because I was like...
I love that.
He's funny. This is gonna be funny when I wear this out. Like...
That is funny.
You know, anything
Steve gets
out
a lot of confused questions on that shirt, because his name is also...
Yeah.
My friend's
he
name
wore
is Steven
it out the other day.
He wears it all the time.
He wore it, like, under his sweater. He was like, I can't take my sweater off. And I was like, no, you can take your sweater off. And he took his sweater off and he was wearing
my favorite is I got him that old Irving, like, Brewers jacket. Yeah. And I'll randomly, like, be talking about the Steven shirt. And he goes, oh, you mean this? And, like, arrow my stuff.
Too good. Too good. I love it.
All right, you ready to wrap this?
Yeah, we can wrap it.
On that note of eating ass.
And taking names.
Eating ass and taking names. Hell yeah, brother.
That'll be that's the episode name. Eating ass and taking names.
We're going to get banned from Instagram.
No, but that's the cold open, though.
So like we said, Vibe Since 1920 will be releasing on March 8th.
Yes.
There will be parties in both the city and in Naperville at the Solemn Oath Tap Rooms. What else?
Yeah, we're going to follow it up on March 16th
oh, yeah,
with another party, too, where we're going to feature some other guest beers made by women in the city. So I know we've got, like, Phase 3. We've got the Pink Boots collab, Eris, obviously. I think there's a Haymarket, like, five or six different breweries.
Nice.
Yeah, so another opportunity. But, yeah, if you can't get it at one of the Solemn locations, definitely hit up a local spot and see if they're one of the supporters.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah, brother.
All right, so with that, please go on your favorite podcast streaming service and leave us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra generous for Women's Month...
Not saucy?
No.
Not spicy?
No.
You can name a woman.
You should leave us a written review saying how much you enjoy our
otherwise
show.
Otherwise, you're sexist and hate women.
I'm all about threatening people into following and liking.
If you listen through the song, you'll hear all of our social media information, and you can get in contact with us there. And we will be drinking Vibe Since 1920, starting on the 8th.
You can follow along with all of our drunken shenanigans on Instagram @drunkenuncultured.
You can also contact us via email at drunkenuncultured@gmail.com.
You can find me, Lindsay, on Instagram at LindsaySoldOut.
And you can find me, Stephanie, on Instagram at _StephanColor.